Oh, yes. It may be difficult to apply to everybody, but one factor that would be very useful to consider is the benefit or harm caused by the work that one does. Now, from a Buddhist perspective, we talk about the concept of right livelihood. The Buddhist concept of right livelihood means that you strive to engage in an activity that has no potential for being harmful to others, either directly or indirectly. The wrong means of livelihood is often described as any means of livelihood that involves exploitation of others out of negative motives, such as deceitfulness and guile. In wrong livelihood, you grab things to which you have no particular right. You take things from others. From a layperson's perspective, if the livelihood that he or she engages in has no direct or indirect harmful consequences for others, then that could be seen as a right livelihood. What the Buddha seems to have emphasized is ensuring that when you seek your livelihood, you do so in an ethical way. You don't harm others, you don't damage others, you don't act with deception or guile. He seemed to be more concerned about the way in which you go about making a living rather than how much money you make.
You mentioned the importance of assessing the potential benefit or harm of the kind of work you do. I recapped, then added another twist. Now, the other day you mentioned that one means of turning your work into a calling was to analyze the broader contribution of your job. Let's say an individual is getting bored and they decide that they are going to systematically review the broader implications of their work. Instead of just sitting on an assembly line, pushing a button all day, they start to contemplate what their actions contribute to society so that they can feel more enthusiastic about their job again, feel better about it. So they start analyzing, but then they discover that the type of work they are doing is ultimately harmful for the environment. Or let's say they make a part that is used for weapons. Once they think about it, they realize that it is not productive. In fact, it's destructive in some way. And yet at the same time, maybe they don't have a lot of resources. They can't just quit their job and look for a better job because they have a family to support and there aren't many other industries in their area. I'm wondering if you could address that issue in view of your definition of right livelihood. The Dalai Lama was quiet, instinctively running his hand over his shaven head as he turned the dilemma over in his mind.
This is a very complicated question. There are so many factors at play here. It is very difficult to come up with a definitive approach to this question. On the one hand, if your work turns out to be part of weapons production, if you look at the immediate purpose of a weapon, then you will come to realize that this is for destruction, this is for killing. But at the same time, if you look at the picture from the vantage point of overall society, unless there is a fundamental change in the society as a whole, for defense purposes for the society, or even on the global level, nations do need weapons for security purposes. Especially in the American case, you look at the fact that in the world there are totalitarian regimes who are against democracy. I think so long as those nations are there, the American military power must remain. But then again, if the president used American military power for destruction or elimination of a single individual, the leader of a dangerous totalitarian regime, for instance, I don't know if this is really appropriate or not. I don't know. It's a very complex problem. The question is, how will a given individual relate to this problem? And that is a very complex issue. Because on one hand, yes, weapons production is destructive. But on the other hand, for the well-being and the global security of the world as a whole, nations do need weapons. And for example, there are Western European nations who produce weapons, but use them mainly for defensive purposes and do not abuse them. And similarly, the example of the United States, although the Russian threat is no longer there, so long as a totalitarian regime like China exists with a huge military power, some kind of deterrent power is necessary. Then again, there is a question whether the leaders of these countries will act responsibly in the use of the military power they have at their disposal. All of these are very complex issues. For an individual who comes up with moral qualms about being part of this company or this factory, and to what extent it is wise for him to give that job up, and how effective that is open to question. Whether that individual decides to quit or not to quit may not make a difference. It's a bit like the story of this old Tibetan woman inside Tibet who was so cross with the Tibetan government, it is said she turned her back to the government for a couple of years in protest, which didn't really have any practical power or effect.